The talk starts here. Get the conversation going. Call now.
Hello?
99.1 KKFT. For Smith and Mason Valley, 92.3 FM Talk.
Welcome back, friends. Welcome back. FM News Talk time already. It's 11:06. Current temperature, 59 degrees. We'll barely touch 70 degrees for a high today. Scott Keller, Republican, is running for Lyon County Commissioner District 2, running in the primary against Republican Davey Sticks. Scott is here, or as you are on the ballot, J. Scott Keller, the legal name. Scott, glad you're here, my friend. Tell us a bit about yourself.
Well, I'm your sitting county commissioner for Lyon County for District 2. I've been on the commission for a little over three years, and so I'm seeking my next term as commissioner. I think I've done a lot for the county, did what I promised that I'd do, and so I'm taking that forward.
Lyon County, it's growing like crazy. Things come up. Big news in Lyon County. Get to that in a moment. But first off, you want to address a fake news situation that you're dealing with. Go ahead, sir.
Well, it's like any time when you run for office, when it gets down to the end, people just start putting out anything to, you know, to have a surprise. They don't want to really talk about it during the election cycle when they can respond. And so right now I got a thing, one thing that was going on in Fernley where they're coming after me saying that I'm not supporting EMS or emergency services, and that's not true.
Now, how do they get that?
I think it's just basically their unions trying to, do a little bit on their board, you know.
The union's doing a number on the people then?
Oh, yeah. To me, it's like they're trying to get funds out of Lyon County, and in Lyon County, it's against the law to give funds to a different taxing entity because we collect taxes to solve problems that is responsible of Lyon County, not their individual taxing district. They get C tax, they get a portion of taxes, and they're supposed to manage their own funds.
So you don't have a beef with EMS?
Oh, of course not. No, I actually go to, on the national level, I've gone up there and fought for EMS. I'm trying to get treatment in place. Hopefully it goes through this year, where they actually get funded from Medicare, Medicaid, and the Veterans Administration, because right now they don't get funded if they treat in place and they don't take them to a hospital. So right now I'm trying to get that. I'm also trying to get blood transfusions on hospitals with the Department of Transportation, which to me is the quicker we can get blood, we can save some lives and it help them out. So and go for the training that would be a cost to them. So I'm actively doing everything for the sheriff, health and human services, all that kind of stuff. So that's where I stand on it.
Well, folks, check out his website, Keller for Commissioner. The four is the number. Symbol, keller4commissioner.com. There's a big thing on your website, Scott, about managing growth. We know Lyon County has seen tremendous growth. Your section on managing it as the county, has the county not done it right managing tremendous growth? Apparently, you've been on the commission, so you're doing your best to manage it right now. Overall, how's the county doing?
I think the county's doing it very well. It's back before I got on, there was a Title 15 was put into place, and there's some problems with Title 15, and we'll address them the best we can. But I'm trying to preserve our rural lifestyle. You know, we're not to bring in too much growth too fast, keep up with the infrastructure, also preserve our water, our you know, the stuff that makes rural rural.
Which brings me to data centers. And energy, now, of course, there are pros and cons. You know, you're going to give your take on what's good and bad about data centers and energy, but have they been proposed for Lyon County or have they been built in Lyon County?
Well, there's a few that are on the application process right now, and they're going through the process. And the biggest thing that I'm going to address, I just got done attending a National Rural Academy, along with Commissioner Hendricks and two other people that are from the county. But the biggest problems that we have with it right now is water, energy, housing, roadways, and traffic, right? And we're going to address all those by what the people want, right? Not by what the industry wants. So I think I'm going to reach out for more community engagement, promoting the transparency and public communication, because some of it's not true, right? Because if you look back at data centers, they've been back from the 70s, back when we used to have dial-up, right, in Virginia. And so data centers have gone through this process, and when you go Google it or do something like that, you're going to get the data centers from old to new. And right now, they want to be good stewards of the land. They want to be good good communication with us. Basically, they want to do the right thing. So they don't want to use up water. They want to use closed-loop systems, ones that don't use any water, control the traffic, all that kind of stuff. So I think we're on a positive thing, and there'll be a lot of open forums for it. So that I just don't want the old news to be out there on that.
Well, you say on your website about managing growth, it's all about keeping Lyon County's future in local control, as you say, not let the corporations decide, protecting areas from overdevelopment and ensuring growth benefits local residents. But what's the good and the bad of data centers in your view?
Well, one thing that they do, especially if they're put in the right location, so they're not an obstacle that, you know, ugly and everything else, put into the areas where they're supposed to be sited. But the revenue off them is huge, especially since most of them are not seeking tax abatements. They're coming in, we'll receive taxes off.
Oh, you don't have to make deals, tax deals, to get them there.
No,
they
because
just they automatically want to be there.
What they're saying publicly is that they do not want to seek tax abatements. So
well, that's great.
There's always the option that they could, but to me, that wouldn't be a good partnership.
So, absolutely. All right.
So it's a lot of revenue.
So 3 years on the county commission. What did you do before that? So folks get to know you, your experience and accomplishments in Lyon County.
Well, I was born and raised in Nevada, and I've lived in Lyon County for 30 years. I was born here in Reno. I've sat on the advisory board for 15 years as the chair of my local community. I also was the parks board chair for 14 years. I've been engaged in my community for 20 years. Right. And to me, it's like I just want to volunteer and do the best I can to make my community a better place. So that's what I've been doing for 20 years.
And Lyon County also, the services you also provide to Fernley.
Yeah.
Now, that's got to be an active job.
Well, some people don't, you know, on the campaign trail, people go, especially when I'm campaigning in Fernley, they go, well, what's the county do for us? And because they're unaware, because they have their own budget, they have their own city. And one of the things that we provide for them is we receive their taxes, but we give back almost $18 million in services back to the city of Fernley. And in doing that, it's a lot of different departments, like Health and Human Services is ours, the sheriff, the library, jail, dispatch, search and rescue, emergency management, mm-hmm. Fernley Justice Court.
Oh, my gosh. And
then some non-essential ones that they still use is the library and the senior center. Those are big items that we take care of. And they probably drive past them or go visit them and not realize they're not a part of Fernley. They're part of the Lyon County, and that's our responsibility. So as we do take taxes, we give it back to Fernley. We give every dollar that we get from them back to Fernley, but it's under different departments.
You said you've been in Lyon County 30 years?
Yes.
Oh, you have, I mean, I came here in 78, and Lyon County, my gosh, a lot going on. Utility upgrades, budget constraints, increased police activity. I couldn't believe the numbers from Memorial Day weekend. 175 traffic stops, 9 DUIs, 102 citations in Lyon County on one weekend. Is it still changing fast?
It's changing fast, but so we look at our budget cycles and everything else. That's the number one problem with Lyon County, by the way. Not enough revenue, right? I do support the sheriff, and we try to. I've never cut their budget. I've always promoted them.
Sheriff Pope,
and he endorses me too. So
I was going to get to endorsements. Okay. I noticed Mark Abaday endorses you. That goes for a lot, right?
Well, it's to me. I'm happier with people that are electing me to endorse me more than the people that aren't.
Okay. Right.
But I do consider it quite a privilege to have an active congressman. I think I'm the only county commissioner he's ever endorsed. So to me, they usually don't go down to that lower level. Okay. But he knows what work I do in Washington, D.C. He's stepping down, and he knows that my accomplishments for Lyon County at the national level has been huge. So he recognizes it.
Do you want to endorse somebody for Congress?
I've been on Settlemyer, mm-hmm. but now the Trump's comes out with Dave Filippo. I've talked to both of them. I spend time with both of them. So I think I've worked more with Settlemyer because Dave Filippo's from the South.
Yeah, he sure is.
And so with me, I've had that personal communication that I will need to do my job up at the national level.
I can't wait to see the results.
Yeah, whatever it is in the primary, it is, and I'll work with either one of them. I have to, right? I have to do what's best for Lyon County.
Well, once again, folks, the website, Keller4Commissioner.com. Final minute, Scott. Make your pitch.
Well, I appreciate everybody that voted for me in the past, and I hope you vote for me again. Stay out of the... If you have a question about stuff that comes out on the news right away, realize that they're just grasping at straws and not letting me respond. Go ahead and give me a call. Send me a thing at my website, and I'll answer you and give you the correct information.
Do you have your phone number on your website?
No, but if they send me an email, I'll gladly...
Oh, yeah. Is there a connection to the email on the website?
Yeah. So I'll just call them up, and they can leave their number. I'll give them a quick phone call. I don't mind talking to my constituents. There is a learning curve when it comes to be a county commissioner, and most people it takes two to 4 years just to get their feet wet. And I think I've taken it to the next level for Lyon County. My opponent hasn't. He's probably been to a handful of maybe two or three commissioner meetings in the last 20 years. So I don't think he's really up to speed. And so I think we might want to look at that a little bit when you make that vote to make sure that we keep going in the right direction.
Well, we love Lyon County, and good luck in this campaign, my friend. That's Scott Keller, folks, Republican, and the website Keller4Commissioner.com. Thanks, Scott.
Thank you.
All right. Have a great day. I'm John Potter, live and local. We have another candidate for CD2 coming up this hour on 99.1, 92.3 FM Talk, FM News Talk, time 11:19.
Live, local, FM Talk, KKFT. For Smith and Mason Valley, 92.3 FM Talk.
Anybody else have anything they want to share today?
This is where to say it. Call now at 884-9910.
Welcome back, friends. Welcome back. FM News Talk time. It's 11:22. I'm John Potter, 9 to noon every Saturday. And I promised you another Save the Best for Last. I hope the other two didn't hear that. Our third candidate for Congress, CD2. Fred Simon, trauma surgeon, small business owner, Gardnerville resident who ran for governor here in 2022 and for Abaday seat 2 years ago. Hello, Dr. Fred.
Hey, John. Good to see you.
Oh, man. I got to turn that down. You're looking great.
Hey, thanks.
Are you working out or something? Or
oh, yeah.
Slim and trim?
I ran my last half marathon in 2023 in Chicago. I'm 73.
Oh, my God, really?
I work out every other day.
Well, I'm thinking since the wonderful, amazing Christopher's restaurant had to close, that that enabled you to stay away from that pasta and great food that you have there, and now you're slim and trim. But I do miss that. Kathy and I really miss Christopher's. I know that's not political talk or anything like that. Do you have any plans to reopen a restaurant? I mean, it was so good.
Oh, I got to tell you, not only was it good, it was fun. I had a great chef. And the other thing that was just so wonderful is I had a mentorship program there for the teenagers from Douglas County.
I noticed that. I noticed. And they were great.
And you know what I did is I brought them in, and I wanted kids who didn't have a job before.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted them to start with me. And we would have Saturday meetings every so often, and once a month or every 2 months. And not only did they learn how to bus tables, they were able to kind of get out of their shell a little bit, because in a restaurant business, you have to, you know, interlope with people constantly.
Well, that's the fun part, though, isn't it?
Oh, it's totally fun.
Yeah.
And the kids learned business. Mm-hmm. If they were with me long enough, and I had a couple kids there for 2 and 3 years, they understood how the back of the business ran, the kitchen. They understand how the front part of the business ran.
Mm-hmm.
They understood that when food costs go up, the margins go down. And it was just really fun teaching these kids about life and business.
And, well, you're a leader. What did your experience as a restaurant owner tell you? And I'm sure this goes into politics and how it is to run a small business.
Well, that's a very interesting question.
I mean, during the Obama years, during the Sisolak years,
mm-hmm.
I'm sure was a deficit to your restaurant.
Yep, I ran a deficit. It was interesting. I opened 1 week. I was the only restaurant open. I called the sheriff to let him know ahead of time.
Oh, you're talking about COVID time?
During COVID time, and I said, I'm opening. I said, they have no legal right to have me shut down. And I got a good response. There was a personal response, and then there was the professional legal response. And I said, thank you very much. I'm opening, and I'm going to let people come in here. I didn't have people wear masks. I didn't believe in it. Of course, I volunteered in a COVID ICU April of 2020.
I don't think it was an issue in your restaurant. You had such a large seating area that nobody had to sit next to anybody to begin with. But anyway.
The whole thing was a facade, and everybody knows
that
now.
Sure. Well, anyway, we miss it. And we're going to break for Fox News, but then we're going to get into politics. Both of us are very fired up over what's been happening over the CD2 race over just the past week, and now the president has endorsed Dave Filippo. What's your reaction to that?
I think it's outrageous. I don't think, when you bring up, Dave Filippo lives in Las Vegas, period.
I know.
Okay, and
we got to say this every 3 minutes.
I mean, it's outrageous. And Jesse Watts and I did a little discovery, and he's renting a home here for $8,000. We have the real estate contract.
Well, he decided to move here right when Mark Abaday said he wasn't going to run again.
Sure. Well, he was running in CD4. He'd already spent money in CD4. He doesn't. Here's the bottom line about David. I give him congratulations for his service and his honor in serving. As a civilian, he has no honor. The things that he's doing are low life. I believe that it's despicable, some of the commercials he's running against James Settlemyer. I know James very well. He lives about 7 miles from me. When I found out that Dave Filippo bought intel on his court case, on his domestic issue.
Settlemyers.
Yep. Settlemyer and I went and had coffee. And I've sat with James. This is not a race where you go after another human being like this. And I just heard a commercial on the way up here. James Settlemyer had nothing to do with the murders of that illegal alien. Yes, he voted for illegal driver's licenses, which I think is absolutely reckless, and I told them so. They don't know the culture. Most don't speak English. They don't know the driver signs. They don't do driver's education. There is no excuse giving them that. But to tie him to that illegal that went and had the murders in Douglas and up in Reno.
Oh, that.
Yeah. You know, Dave Filippo puts that out. That's despicable. And it just shows the low character that Dave Filippo has. And in addition, if you go to any of the events with Dave Filippo and anybody asks him a question, he can't answer it. He just can't answer it.
How dirty this has become. There's even somebody getting out, trying to send out the information to media. And I know because, you know, I host a talk show, trying to get the personal dirt on Settlemyer's ex-wife that she's had four DUIs.
Yeah, well,
somebody is pushing this. And, you know, I knew when the arrest, the domestic violence arrest thing with Settlemyer came out. By the way, he was not convicted. When that came out, I thought, well, who's behind this? And I guess, now you're saying it is Filippo, right?
I got the first phone call.
How do you know it was Filippo?
Because I was told, and I'm not going to name the names of where this came from, other candidates were called, and we have all talked about
somebody
this.
Was selling this information?
Correct.
Oh, my God.
And Filippo's campaign bought it, and it is a closed court case. I think there will be some repercussions to this. I called James Settlemyer after this event happened with me, and I called back the individual who was selling it and said he sold it to Filippo's campaign. That's when I called James and said, we need to have coffee. This is getting a little bit out of control.
Well, I want to hear about this coffee date here, but do you have any proof, Fred Simon, that he did buy it, that it was him who bought it?
You know what? I don't have proof other than the fact that the individual who was selling it, I called back 2 hours after our interaction.
Okay.
And he told me. So it's circumstantial, but it's all come out from Filippo's campaign and nobody else.
You were approached with this information.
Absolutely.
Okay. We got to take a break for Fox News. We're going to get into you next. We're why folks should look into voting for Fred Simon for Congress District 2. I'm John Potter, live and local each and every Saturday 9 to noon, 99.1, 92.3 FM Talk, FM News Talk Time, 11:30.
There is no need for you to speak unless I ask you a question.
FM Talk, radio, 99.1, KKFT. For Smith and Mason Valley, 92.3 FM Talk.
All right, so what do you want to talk about now?
Well, maybe the public really needs to know who I am and why I'm running.
My question is, this is Fred Simon running for Congress, District 2. By the way, Fred, what's your website?
SimonForCongressCD2.com.
SimonForCongressCD2.com. Go check it out, folks. Fred, if you finally do win this seat, how differently will you vote from how Mark Amaday has been, and how will you generally be different from Mark Amaday?
Well, I will vote almost completely different than Mark on the major issues. This country cannot keep moving on with the high spending bills. He voted for every omnibus bill. I won't. Now, maybe I'll be overridden, but you got to take a character stance on things. We need a balanced budget. We need a comprehensive immigration plan. And we don't have that because corporations give money to both parties, so there isn't one, so they get cheap labor. But you have to go out and expose this. And Mark Amaday said at a couple of meetings I've been to, which was four, I'm not that type of person who gets out and says much. I do it behind the scenes. But he just goes along to get along, and that, quote unquote, is what he does. I don't. I think one person can do a lot. I'm a Teddy Roosevelt type person. If you go back to what Roosevelt did, he took on New York City. He took on the police departments. He took on the poverty. And how do you do that? Well, people say, you're a federal guy. Well, no, I'm a Congressional District 2 guy, I'll be in every hospital trying to put in a telemedicine program across the north so that we don't have to bring as many specialists in, because we can't right now, but we can give the same service. I'll be in every school. Let's look at Mississippi. They were 49th, 50.
Oh,
they're now ninth.
Sixth, I saw.
Yeah. They got a template. It's not going to take rocket science. I got to sell every school board in the north. Let's do something like Mississippi and turn education around. You need a string. I'm the string or the rope between Battle Mountain to Winnemucca to Elko to Reno. And I will be in those communities every 3 months, all the schools at the community members. I've done that my entire life.
See, that's a difference with Amade right there. You know, I'm not knocking him, but he hasn't been much getting out there and holding the community forums and such. You are a very people person. You know, Kathy and I, when we would go to your restaurant, that's how we met you. You went table to table talking to people.
Right.
And that's how I got to know you. And so I could picture that. You'd be very effective in that. You say some candidates in this race have had personal misconduct and corrupt insider endorsements. Now, we already talked about Settlemyer. Do we have any other people in this race who you want to, well, you probably don't want to, but do have misconduct issues personally?
I think you have to. The public really needs to look at this character, Dave Flippo.
Okay, let's get to Flippo.
Okay.
All right.
He is a Las Vegas person. Okay. If people want to accept that, great. He does not know the Northern Nevada issues.
Or people.
Or people, and hasn't been across other than campaigning the last couple months. He doesn't say much. He has no in-depth knowledge about anything in healthcare, education, mining, anything. Zero. Mm-hmm. He always has a surrogate with him. He gets all of these endorsements, but there's money connected to many of them. How is a congressman from Arizona traveling around with him for days? People in Washington have admitted, because they're going to have to, there's going to be FEC filings where this is going to show up. And then in addition, his behavior in regards to his career, he embellishes. That's a nice word.
Things that could come out in the future. And this is scary, because believe me, when this primary's over, and if he wins the primary, the Democrats are going to pounce on this stuff, and we could lose a Republican representing District 2 if he has issues that people don't know about, or people, I don't think most people even know that he's so Southern Nevada. The Democrats are going to make a big, big thing out of this during the actual election campaign. That's where I see the risk.
John, David Flippo is the Democrats' choice.
I believe
for November.
That. Yeah.
He's so vulnerable. And if people don't see that and they're going to vote for him, I appreciate their opinion. But he is a great liability when it comes to November.
Well, let's talk about what you can do for the people. You're a doctor. You may have decided to run, seeing how healthcare is in this country. And I'm thinking you must have some reform ideas that you would like to put forward as congressman.
Well, first of all, let's look at Obamacare. It was a contract between Congress, Big Pharma, the hospitals, and corporate America. It wasn't for you and me. Everything they said it would be, we all now know it isn't. Premiums and deductibles have skyrocketed. Quality has gone down. Now, I was the busiest medical legal expert in the country, 42 states, Guam, Puerto Rico, Cayman Islands, in general surgery and trauma, represented patients and families. sued doctors and hospitals because of the extensive negligence that exists in this country that is highly costly and changes people's lives. All of this in combination. There isn't anybody in Congress. There isn't anybody running in this country. I've looked at every one of their profiles that knows more about health care than I do. I've consulted with Las Vegas Trauma. I put together a trauma center in Aurora, Colorado, consulted in Colorado Springs, New Hampshire. Here's the bottom line. Private insurance netted $1.2 trillion last year. And the public's deductibles and premiums keep going up. The American public should never have to pay a deductible.
I remember when we did. I'm that old. I remember when we didn't have those. What are your other issues, your top issues? You say balancing the budget. I saw that. You have an energy and immigration policy as well as being present in Nevada's communities. And the two-party system. Plenty wrong there. Let's start with the lobbyists. I mean, I saw somewhere where you said that has to be changed in some way.
Sure. You know, I've been criticized because I'm self-funded. I spent 40 years fixing things, creating things, working 80 to 90 hours a week. Did. Always working. And so nobody owns me, and nobody can control me. That's why the insiders don't like to support me. But here's the details. There are 10 lobbyists per congressman just for health care.
Oh, wow.
Just for health care.
Yeah.
I don't need to ever talk to a lobbyist about the health care issues. They need to talk to me and me help them understand. Education. We've been down 49th, 50th. There has been a committee that has testified before Congress, neurodevelopmental approach. We have too much technology. It has been well proven. 80 countries, all 50 states, our NAEP scores will get better if the kids aren't in the computer all the time. We need teacher direct communication with teaching.
Mm-hmm.
The kids need to interact with each other. We learn by human interaction. This has all been researched. Why hasn't Northern Nevada adopted any of this? Ideology politics. And this is where an active congressman comes in at the school boards, talking to school board members, talking to superintendents. Mm-hmm. I've had lots of experience in this for 20 years. And you be reasonable, and you engender relationships, and you educate. We need to change our education.
Well, I think you found your calling. You'll definitely be energetic if you win this race. Simon for Congress, CD2.com. One minute, Fred, give your pitch.
Well, I will just simply ask people, go look at my background. Lots of background in business, lots of background in community. I've worked in the Hispanic community, the Black community. I volunteered on the Navajo Indian Reservation. I've had multiple businesses. I owned a semi-professional soccer team here in Nevada just for the Hispanic kids to chase their dreams. I funded it.
Oh, cool.
I had an ESPN radio show for 3 years. I went out and self-educated myself to know how to attack all issues in life. And I want to serve. And that's what I've always done. I've been a public servant.
All right. Simon for Congress, CD2.com. You know, you'd make a hell of a good radio talk show host. What the hell am I doing here?
Well, let's do it together sometime.
All right. Fred, it's always a pleasure. I'll tell my wife, Dr. Kathy, that you said hi.
Okay, I appreciate it.
All right, she really likes you. And she's
a
Democrat. You have won her over.
Oh, awesome. That's great.
All right. I'm John Potter, live and local, 99.1, 92.3 FM Talk, FM News Talk, time 11:48.
Proud to have switched from liberal to conservative over the years.
The Talk of Northern Nevada. Speak out.
884-9910. FM News Talk.
99.1 and 92.3.
Yeah, you can call. You can also, I just, for the first time this morning since I came in here at 9, just, oh my gosh, the texts and emails that I get. One text here, Mr. Potter. So the more a dementiacrat reads, the easier to convert them to repugnatoons. Give more books to your wacky wife. I have no idea what this, Craig, do you have a clue?
We have to analyze. No, it's one of our all time texters, but no, I don't have a clue.
Oh, it is, huh?
Yeah.
Well, that's a shame. Also got an email. Let me see here. Because I somebody disagreed when I said that I think, oh, what does this say here? I think, I said, gosh, what did I say? Somebody has the impression that I think that people, that I think the public does not have as many rights as they used to, and they're okay with it. I think I was getting into that when I talked about when we took on the most powerful country on earth, of course, Great Britain. And I said, I think we got our heads on sideways in this country. I think a long time ago, people who wanted to ultimately topple this nation realized that they couldn't do it with a foreign army, but they could do it with internal discontent. And so they, in a variety of places, have planted the seeds of that internal rot in our schools, in our politics, and sometimes in our pulpits. They have taken pure bullcrap, the public, and repeated it so constantly and so passionately as to convince us that it's true. Not just the media, but places like Reddit. Oh my God, I can't believe these people who, every chance they get, they bash so-called late-stage capitalism and do not even subtly promote communism. People who have no sense of history, okay? We become a different sort of people. At least some of us, at least a percentage of us, and that has made us a weaker and less focused nation. We have sat atop the world with every blessing that God or man could imagine, and we've largely frittered it away. And one would hope that on this semi-quincentennial, oh, I know how this discussion started. I was talking about the Los Angeles mayor candidate who wants to ban backyard grilling and outdoor smoking on bad air quality days. For real. That's what got me on this. Okay. But I would hope on this semi-quincentennial that there might be a little tap on the shoulder where we just pause and ask ourselves, hold it. Why did we get into this whole thing in the first place? These ideas, and what is America truly about, and what can we do here and now and today to re-embrace that commitment to liberty? The most important thing that we as a nation could do. And forgive me for getting off on that, but we ought to just wake up every day with a passion for freedom. I think a lot of people in the world do in other countries. Those are people who have only the slightest personal experience with freedom. The people who are oppressed seem to most commonly be the people who long most for freedom. And then ironically, those of us who, at least on paper, have access to freedom, we sometimes seem the least appreciative of it. And this is an old stereotype that ends up being true. If you want to get a good insight into America and what it means, ask somebody who was born someplace else. It used to be immigrants to America who were overwhelmingly folks who love it, who admired this country and saw it as the path to the fulfillment of their dreams, the ability to worship as they would, you know, to live as they would, to structure their lives and pursue their happiness as they would. I think lately we started importing a lot of folks who don't appreciate that or even hate us for it and are not, you know, really immigrating, you know, as that word should mean. They're colonizing. But you talk to somebody who's got a little bit of accent in their voice, maybe they didn't learn English here, walking our streets, hiking through our woods, and ask them what they think about our country. And overwhelmingly, you will find a love that maybe those of us who were born here, now having succeeded richly and deeply, we might take our blessings for granted. That's not a strength. Every now and then, you ought to stop and sit and think about what it means to live under the red, white, and blue. And again, if that conjures up ideas of welfare cheese or something like that for you, you're entitled to your opinion. But I'd suggest to you that there's something even better than that. This country, where I can be me and you can be you and we all can be brothers and sisters, fellow citizens standing equally before the law and equally before God, that's a good place to be, you know? Okay, I'll shut my mouth. I have to. The music is playing. Okay, I'll get off the stage. Just a minute. No, stop pushing. I'm John Potter. I hope you have a wonderful weekend. I love you all, and I'll see you next Saturday. I'll talk to you then on 99.1, 92.3 FM Talk. Thank you, Craig. Fox News next.